Heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork day unto day. There is no speech, no language. Not heard. Their light has gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the earth. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. The rise is from one end of heaven and is circuited to the other end. There is nothing hidden from this horn. Perfect. So, as many of the Lord is regenerated, and the Lord is perfect. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In verse 7 again, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning. God's required reading. God's required reading. You may be seated. God's required reading. I mean, it's not optional. It's required. God's required reading. God's required reading. God's required reading. This morning, if I would just share just one single thing, saints, with you this morning, that would enable you to live victoriously, that would enable you to live holy, that would enable you to live more like Jesus, that would enable you to experience more of his power and his promises. Just one single thing. Would you be interested in that one single thing? Would you be interested in that one single thing? All right, that's still kind of weak. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. That one single thing is to follow God's required reading. It's the Bible. It's reading the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Reading the Bible, reading it, studying it, applying it to your life, obeying it. I want to encourage you, I keep encouraging this year, if you're not reading through the scriptures consistently, if you don't have a plan or a pattern, go with us as we're reading through the New Testament. It's in the bulletin every week. Also, we have handouts on the credenza. I do a little write-up of each chapter, a little synopsis. It's in the bulletin all through the year. So if you read through the New Testament, if you read through, follow with us this year, by the end of the year, you would have read through the New Testament. And then next year, if God's willing, 2020, we'll say Old Testament. Now, I know some of y'all read through the Bible regularly. Some of y'all read through the entire Bible each year. That's great. That's great. So if you have your own reading plan, continue on that plan. But even in doing that, saints, when you're reading, make sure that you are internalizing, meditating on it, applying it to your life, obeying it. Don't just read it like you're reading the newspaper. Just read it. Read it for direction. Read it for application. Read it for enlightenment. Read it. It is the Word of God. There are warnings. There are instructions. There's guidance. There's promises. There's blessings and much, much more in the Word of God. But you got to read it. I'm presently enrolled in this systematic theology class through the seminary out of Samford, and they have a connection with the Hamilton County Baptist Association and Minister Terman. He's taking a couple classes through them as well. And we just started the class, and I kind of waited. I said, well, I'm just going to go grab the book, this big, thick, systematic theology book. And, of course, we use the Bible. And I went to get the book here locally, and guess what? They were out of the book. And this particular place couldn't even order the book. So I got behind a couple of days because I did not have the book, and I'm behind on my required read. I like the class, but I'm behind on my required reading because I got my book late. Some of y'all behind on y'all required reading. So let's get caught up on our required reading. Let's get caught up on God's required reading out of Psalms 19. The first several verses, the first six verses of Psalms 19 talks a lot about God's nature. The whole psalm is really about talking about how God reveals himself. So God reveals himself through nature. That's one way. If we go outside and you know, you see the sun and the moon and clouds and all that, you know, Romans 1 talks about it as well. People just say, there is a God. Even people who are not Christians, you can go to all kind of places as missionaries go out to these remote places, and they're usually worshiping something, Brother Keith. They say, well, we know that we didn't do all this. Somebody did this. So even nature itself said, one theologian said, that nature all of itself is like an outstretched finger pointing toward heaven, pointing toward God. Like, there is a God. We didn't create ourselves. There is a God. So Psalms 19, the first part, nature itself said there is a God. Then the part that we're going to look at this morning, this, the written word, the word, the Bible says, tells you and tells me that there is a God. That there is a God. So we're going to kind of rush through these a little bit. Not really rush through them, but we're going to go through each one of these. Verses 7 through 11, you're going to see the word of God talked about as being the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. It's going to refer to it as the testimony of the Lord, verse 7, that's the word of God. The statutes of the Lord, that's the word of God. The commandments of the Lord, that's the word of God. The fear of the Lord, that's the word of God. So the word of God is mentioned throughout these verses in slightly different ways with a slightly different slant. And we won't really go into all that due to time this morning, but just trust me, all this is talking about the word of God. I said, all this is talking about the word of God. So the very first one, if you're taking notes, and this is why you and I should do God's required reading, because number one, the word of God is perfect. Now, we don't worship the word of God. We worship the God of the word, right? But the word of God gives us correct information about God. The word of God is perfect. So you need to read a book that's perfect. The word of God is perfect. It's inerrant. It's without error. You can trust it. It was written by God himself. We're going to put this on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 says this. If you're wondering, where did the Bible come from? Somebody might be wondering that this morning. Where did the Bible come from? Here it is. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, nobody just came up with this stuff on their own. No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never, somebody say never. It never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the Bible. Holy men of God wrote as God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to their hearts and minds. They were nothing more than glorified secretaries. They wrote what God told them to write. The word of God is perfect. It's perfect. It's inerrant. Why? Because God wrote it. God wrote it. Now, this might be new for some this morning, but it might be review for the rest of us. But you can trust in the inerrancy of scripture. You can trust in this book that we call the Bible because God wrote it. So the word of God is perfect. That's one of the reasons we need to read it. It's perfect. It's perfect. Another reason that you and I need to read the word of God is right there in verse 7. The word of God converts you. It converts the soul. Show me any Christian. I'm talking about a genuine Christian who gets saved and very rarely reads their Bible. I promise you that they're not going to be growing much at all. They're going to be anemic. I mean, the word of God, it converts you. It will change you. Do I have some witnesses right there? The word of God will change you. The word of God combined with the spirit of God shows you your need, Son of God. I need to repeat that. The Word of God combined with the Spirit of God shows me our need for the Son of God. Let me say that one more time. The Word of God combined with the Spirit of God shows us our need for the Son of God. It shows us our need for Jesus. Minister Terman alluded to that this morning. We were talking about the Ten Commandments. You start trying to keep the commandments, you're going to see, man, I can't keep these commandments. I need some help. Who kept the commandments? Jesus did. Christ kept the commandments perfectly. So the Word of God shows us our need for Jesus. It shows us our need for Jesus for salvation. It shows us our need for Jesus for deliverance. It shows us our need for Jesus for daily living. It shows us our need for the Lord for proper living. It shows us our need for God and His Word for correction, for rebuking, for encouragement. So, beloved, as you read the Word of God, as you hear the Word of God preached and taught to you, as you come to Wednesday night Bible study, as you study for Sunday morning blast class, as you go to other Bible classes, it shows you more clearly your need for a Savior. It shows you more of your need for Jesus. I got saved back in 1992, but almost every time I read my Bible, shows me more of my need for Jesus. I don't need him from just way back 20 something years ago when I got saved. I need him today. I need him right now. I need him to guide me right now. I need him to help me on some of these areas I'm struggling in right now. I wouldn't really know that, though, if I didn't get into the Word of God. You have to read the Word of God. It changes you. It converts you. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be changed? All of us ought to want to be changed and be a little more like Jesus than we are today. For instance, that systematic theology class I'm in, if I don't catch up in my reading, I'm not going to get out of it what I should get out of it. But I go every Tuesday. My plan is to catch up before Tuesday, to catch up on my reading. Another thing that the Word of God does, the Word of God is right there in verse 7. The Word of God is sure. It's sure. You can count on it. And I'm going to give you some verses at the very end of the message, so just stick with me. But you can count on it. It's sure. It's a sure foundation. It gives you comfort and stability. It provides us with a sure foundation that we live in this turbulent world. As we live in, as some people would say, these Donald Trump days. But some other people probably would say, even back to previous elections, somebody would say, well, I need some stability while I live in these Barack Obama days. Or whoever's going to get elected the next time. As I preached last week, I don't want to preach that sermon. Whoever's in the White House, it doesn't really matter, really. We need to pray for them and vote for who's going to go there. But really, our stability, our sure thing comes from God. It comes from His Word. It doesn't come from a man. It comes from the man, the God man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word of God is sure. You can count on it. You can bank on it. You can say, okay, God said that, and I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to take Him at His word because He never lies. He is not like man that He should lie. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. In Him there is light, and there is no darkness at all. In Him there is truth, and truth alone. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So you can read the Word of God because you can. It's a sure thing. Also, right there in verse 7, as I hasten on, these are just reasons to remind you and me why we should go to God's required reading, the Bible, Brother LeBron, the Bible. The Word of God makes you wise. Right there in verse 7. The Word of God makes you wise. It makes wise the simple. It makes you wise. If you read it and if you apply it and obey it, it makes you wise. You can't just carry it around and sleep with it under your pillow. It's going to make me wise, man. I got it under my pillow. You know that old joke. Y'all have heard me say that before. They talking about, well, if you don't get to study Mother Lawson, if you just sleep with your book under your pillow, it'll get in your mind by osmosis. Young people, don't try that. That won't work. That won't work. You won't make a good grade on that. We got some educators in the house who won't make a good grade on that. But the Word of God will make you wise if you use it, if you read it, if you apply it, if you study it, if you memorize it, if you meditate in and on it. It will make you wise. So listen, beloved, it's very unwise to not read the Word of God. Matter of fact, it's foolish to not read the Word of God. Now, I'm not calling you a fool, but I'm saying if you don't read the Word of God, that's very foolish. And fools do foolish stuff. But the Word of God makes you wise. It makes you wise. Now, most of us don't need any help acting a fool. We need help being wise. We come here acting a fool. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So we need some help. So the word of God makes us wise. Listen to what God says in the book of James. He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and freely. God said, if you can't figure that out, if you lack wisdom, just ask me. So beloved, do you need to know how to handle that sticky situation on your job? Just go to God. Go to his word. Ask him. If you know how to, husband, you need to learn how to live with your wife in a more understanding way. Just go to God and go to his word. Sister, if you need to try to learn how to be a better wife, a better mother, go to God and go to his word. Young people, if you need to learn how to be a better teen or a better young person, go to God and go to his word. If you need to learn how to be better on your job or whatever the situation might be, go to God and go to his word. God said, if you lack wisdom, ask of me, and I will give to you. So go to God's instructional manual, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I'm convinced, just in talking to Christians and just checking out some of these polls and stuff that I read, many people who profess to be followers of Christ, a high percentage, don't read the Bible. Don't read about it. Maybe that's why the Lord really has me on this year so far. Bless you. Has me on this so far. We got to read the word of God, saints, and apply it to our lives. Y'all with me? Another reason, there are many, just staying right with this text. Verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord or the word of the Lord are right. The statutes are right. So again, kind of similar to the one earlier about us being sure. The word of God is right. Everything you read in the Bible is right. Now there were some times when God put some information. There's no wrong information that God puts in the Bible. The only thing that is wrong, sometimes God records what men or women did that was wrong. So it was a true account of what they did that was wrong. Before there's any wrong information, everything in the word of God is right. Everything in the word of God is right. I had a talk with a guy just the other day. And he was saying, this is what he was saying. He said, man, you don't believe in all that Bible, do you? I said, yes, I do. I believe in all that. He said, well, over the year, man, this is what he was saying. He said, I believe way back then, yeah, God probably gave it to man. But, over the years, down through the years, man had changed the Bible. I said, what? We serve a sovereign God, an all-powerful God. And you might serve some little bitty God, but the God I serve is big enough and is bad enough that if he wrote the Bible, which he did, he's bad enough he can keep the Bible pure down through the years. He's not going to let man contaminate his word. Man is not that small. Man is not that bad. So I'm saying, you must serve some little weak, wimpy God. My God, he can keep the Bible clear. Matter of fact, he said, hey, read over in Revelation, he said, if you mess with the Bible, if you mess it up, if you take it out and put it in it, God's going to put some plagues on you. He's all the plagues in his book I'm going to put on you. So I believe if somebody tried to tamper the Bible and mess it up and give us the bad Bible, guess what? Number one, God wouldn't let it happen. But even secondly, that person, they're going to end up being doomed to hell. Because this is God's pure word, God's perfect word. It is right. It is pure. It is God's instructional manual to his people. And if he sent his son to die for us, and he did, surely he can send us a word from him that he'll keep pure throughout all generations. Matter of fact, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God is going to endure forever. This Bible will never get outdated. You can never outlive it. You can never say, well, it's out of fashion. Well, now this is the word of God. It's living. It's active. It's sharp in any two-edged sword. When I start reading the Bible, somebody can relate. When I start reading the Bible, next thing I know, the Bible is reading me. Let me say that again. I'm reading the Bible, but next thing I know, it's reading me. I'm like, man, Lord, you right. What they just said, you right. All I can do is repent and confess. Lord, help me to handle that right the next time. So the word of God is sure. Another reason that you need to read God's word, God's required reading, it's right in verse 8. The word of God brings you joy. It brings us joy. The word of God brings us joy. Sometimes we let people paint Christianity like it's just a bunch of negatives. What you can't do this, you can't do that. Yes, some can't do's in the Bible, yes. But there's a lot. Just like in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam and Eve, basically y'all can do whatever y'all want to in this whole garden. I made it just for you. I even got the tree of life right in the middle of the garden. If y'all just stay here and you can hang out with that tree, you can live here forever. there's only one thing that I don't want y'all to do. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God gave them all that other stuff to do. Gave them one little thing not to do. And y'all know the story. They end up doing that one thing they couldn't do. So it is with Christianity. We have a lot of things that we can do. There are some things we shouldn't do. There's some things we can't do. Some things we don't supposed to do. And that's good. Those are all protective for us. But God gives us a lot of things we can do. And one of the things, we get to enjoy him. Matter of fact, the word of God brings you joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes if I'm feeling a little down, I pick up my Bible. I love the Psalms. Turn to the Psalms. Or I might just remind myself of some of the promises of God from his word. Things like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or I might say something like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Or I might be reminded, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I might remind myself from the word of God, I'm not just making this stuff up. This is from the word of God. From the word of God, I might say, wait a minute. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Or I might remember, wait a minute. I'm feeling kind of down, feeling kind of condemned. I remember, wait a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or I might be in a situation where it might not seem that good. It might be a rough situation, a bad situation. I got to remind myself from the word of God, from God's required reading, Romans 8:28. So wait a minute. For I know that God causes all things, not some things, but all things to work together for the good. Who is it? For those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. I had to remind myself of that from the word of God. So there's joy in the word of God. I said, there's joy in the word of God. Anybody with me this morning? There's joy in reading the word of God. So if you're not reading consistently, I encourage you, I implore you, begin to read systematically in the word of God. Get on a plan, get on a pattern, read through the word of God. And as you read for understanding, read for application. You read and obey what you're reading. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand, help me to obey. But read the word of God. Another thing about the word of God, right in verse 8, another great reason to go to God's required reading the Bible. The word of God is pure. It enlightens the eyes. See, we live in a fallen world. We live in this flesh. And so if you or I are not routinely going to the word of God, the culture, the world, we'll begin to see things as we shouldn't see things. We will begin to see things not from a biblical point of view. But the word of God is pure. It helps to enlighten the eyes. It helps us to see things correctly. So when you adhere to the word of God, beloved, you're going to live more holy. You're going to be more like Jesus. If you're living and reading the word of God. Because once again, it helps you to see things more clearly. It helps you to, here it is, helps you to see sin more clearly. Some people, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, your lens gets so clouded, you don't even really see sin as sin. You'd be like, well, no, it's not really sin. You know, a lot of people do that. Well, you got to come back to the word of God and say, wait a minute, that is sin. That is sin. I'm going to call a spade. That is sin. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 1:1-2. He says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, here it is, saints, his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God, and in his law, in God's law, he meditates day and night. That sounds like the psalmist is someone who's going to God's required reading. For you to be all that God wants you to be, saints, you got to spend time in the word of God. No way around it. No, there's no way. It's no shortcuts. I wish I can give you a little shortcut. No, there's no way around it. You got to spend some time with Jesus in his word. Amen. Then verse 9 even talks about the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, is pure, enduring forever. See, the word of God gives us, again, a proper view of God. So as a Christian, I'm preaching to the Christian. As a Christian, you cannot routinely read the word of God and not have a sense of awe and a sense of reverence of God and a sense of holy fear of God. Just look at the scriptures. When people would come in contact with God, like Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, oh, that's a great sight. I mean, he was intrigued initially, but when he got there to see the burning bush and God said, take off your sandals because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Moses bowed down and worshiped. When people would see Jesus and see that he is deity, he's God in the flesh, people would bow down and worship. As you and I read the word of God, we begin to see God just as who he is. He's a holy and a magnificent and awesome and powerful God. He's a God to be reverenced, a God to be feared, a God to worship, a God to serve. But we got to read his love letter to us, his book to us, to get the proper view of God. See, if not, saints, I know this is probably going to be kind of funny. Y'all might laugh, but if not, we'll be saying foolish stuff like that. Oh, he's the man upstairs. Who is that anyway? When I lived in some apartments, there was a man that lived up above me. I guess that's who that is, the man upstairs. Who is that, the man upstairs? That's nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible. So we got to get the correct information, beloved, about God. He ain't no man upstairs. Even this, I don't know, the Super Bowl come on later today, and whoever wins, I don't know. You know, sometimes God works it out where a Christian might win. He say something about Jesus or God, but sometimes these old pagans, they say all kind of old crazy stuff. Just all kind of old crazy stuff about the Lord. So you got to read the Bible, saints, to have the proper reverence, the proper fear, the proper image of our God. This is his main self-disclosure to us is through the word of God. That's why the enemy, that's why the devil don't want you and me to read the Bible. If he can keep us, he couldn't stop us from being saved. But if he can keep us away from the Bible, he can have us a lot more ineffective than what we normally would or should be. One thing, number one, we have a wrong view of God. Another thing right out of that verse, God's required reading. God's word is true and righteous. That's self-explanatory, kind of repeating what he's mentioned before. It's true and righteous. No other book, saints. I mean, you know, probably all of us have taken history, and to a certain extent, you know, you kind of trust the history book. But I'm going to mess with you for a minute. How do I really know Columbus discovered America? I don't really know that. I wasn't there. Number one, even when I first read that years ago, I laughed. I said, wait a minute. They said he pulled up on America, right? And they say he discovered America, and the Indians who were on the shore looked at him. I was like, wait a minute. They must have discovered it before him. A little side note. He didn't really discover America. The Indians, they discovered it. But this Bible, everything that we read in it, saints, it's true. You can trust it. You can trust it. And so with that being said, let's look at verse 10. Because God's word is pure and it's true and it's right, it brings us joy. Therefore, verse 10 says, moreover, by them, by God's laws, God's precepts, God's word, your servant is warned. I'm sorry, I'm in verse 11. Your servant is warned. So let me just roll on and read that one. Your servant is warned. And in keeping them, keeping God's commandment, there is great reward. And so going back to verse 10. So therefore, God's word, listen, is to be more desired, or God's word, than gold. Yeah, than the much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, all of us to a certain extent like money a little bit. I mean, the Bible, that's okay. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. But the psalmist said, hey, God's word should be more precious to the child of God than money, than gold, than any of those material things. Nothing should be more important to us than the word of God. Here it is. 1 Peter 2 says it this way, like newborn babes desire, crave the crave milk. So the child of God should crave the word of God. Now, you know, there are certain tests, that you and I can apply to ourselves and to others about, you know, are they in the faith or are they not in the faith? That's part of what Minister Turnbull was teaching about this morning during Sunday Blast. One of the litmus tests is, what is your hunger and thirst? What is your desire for the word of God? Because when a person gets born again, God puts a desire in all of us, all Christians, to read the word of God. Like newborn babes, you don't have to teach them how to hunger or thirst for milk, right? I mean, God, you know, you shouldn't have to teach a Christian how they should study. We just come here with a desire to study. Now, some of us might have a little more discipline or have a little more drive or whatever, but all of us, all Christians, y'all with me this morning, all Christians have a hunger for the word of God. Am I preaching to the walls? I said, all Christians have a hunger for the word of God. I mean, at least listen to it on your phone or something. I mean, you got to have a hunger and thirst. I want to hear what my Father is saying. I want to hear what my Lord and Savior is saying. I need some encouragement. I need some correction. I need some help right here. So I'm going to go to the source. I'm going to go to God's required reading, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. So the psalmist says, so man, I'd rather have God. I'd rather have his word than their money or any of that. And then also he says in verse 11, the word of God warns you. I'm going to kind of couch these together. The word of God, the Bible, warns you, warns me. And also when you keep God's word, right out of verse 11, there is great reward. There's great benefit. So you got two sides. The word of God warns us. Also in the word of God, Brother Sidney, Sister Elaine, the word of God gives great benefits, great rewards. All of us can probably attest there have been countless times when we obeyed and followed the word of God and that thing turned out pretty good. But then there have been other times. I said there have been other times when God said, don't go down that long, dark road right there. Don't go down that. Don't go in that particular place. And we disobey God. And watch this. It didn't turn out too good. I mean, there have been countless times. Like, man, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have said that. I mean, I know the Lord said don't do it. My parents even told me not to do it. But I did it anyway. And that thing didn't turn out too good. So the word of God warns us. God warns us of impending danger. He warns us, just like any good parent would warn their children of certain things that's not good for them. God warns us, and the primary way that he warns us is in the word of God. So if you're not reading the word of God, you'll miss some of the warning signs. You'll miss them. And then he gives us great promises, like 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen to this on the prayer line. We talk about this one a lot. If my people who are called by my name, called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here's the promise. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's a great reward. That's a great benefit. We wouldn't know that if we didn't read the word of God. So wait a minute. Okay, God, if I quit doing all this old crazy stuff, if I turn from my wicked ways, repent of my sins and turn to you, you'll really hear my prayer, hear my cry and forgive me of my sin and heal the land. And your land could be your family, it could be your life, it could be a million things. But God said, I got that promise for you. Another promise. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, meaning the word of God at that time, the first five books of the Bible, the word of God. Now we got 66 books. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, saints. Love fellowship. You should meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Joshua 1:8. Write it down. Read that later. I mean, so he's saying don't just read it. But meditate in it. Mull it over in your mind, brother and sister Greaves. Think about it. Ponder it, Sister Howard. Think about, okay, this is what this means to me. And then observe it, or obey it, or do all that is written in it. Here's the promise. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So many Christians are struggling through life because they're not reading and spending time in the word of God. But not just that, not just reading it, but observing and obeying what thus said the Lord. We don't have any escape clauses. We can't be talking about, well, God, you know, I don't really agree with it. No, as a child of God, if God says do it, guess what? Do it. If he says don't do it, guess what? Don't do it. And guess what? Because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, we can walk this thing out. Y'all kind of weak right there. I said, we can walk this thing out. If you're in Christ, if you got the word of God, you got the spirit of God, we can walk this thing out. I'm not saying we're going to live it perfectly. I'm not saying we're not going to ever sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying as a child of God, we got the word of God. We got the spirit of God. We even got the people of God. So we can live this thing out. This is not just some, you know, pie in the sky. No, ain't no way you can't do all. No, you can be all that you can be in the Lord. You can be all that you can be. In the Lord. So God's required reading. I'm almost through. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God converts you. The Word of God is sure. You can count on it. Aaron, you can count on it. The Word of God makes you wise. If you've been acting a fool, you need to get in the Word of God. If you know somebody acting a fool, you need to go and point them to Jesus and to His Word. I got a nephew right now. He's been acting a fool. I think I mentioned it last week. He's about 21, 22. He's my nephew's son. And my nephew, my brother's son, said that the problem with his son, he just lazy, just don't want to work. So if you lazy and you're a man growing up in America, especially a black man growing up in America, and you just don't want to work and you're lazy, they got some places for you. They got some places for you. And so he's in one of those places right now. He's incarcerated right now. And, you know, sometimes that's the best place for some people. So I'm praying that he stop doing some foolish stuff. I'm praying that he comes to Jesus while he's in there. I'm praying that he begins to open up the Word of God and say, okay, I'm a young man. I need to be working for this. I shouldn't be trying to sell drugs and do all this stuff. That's a foolish thing to do. Let me say that one more time. That's a foolish thing to do. So the Word of God is right, though. It helps us to not do that foolish stuff. The Word of God brings you joy. The Word of God is pure. It enlightens the eyes. I get enlightened. Every time I'm in the Word of God, I get enlightened. I walk away enlightened. Like, man, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about so-and-so thing. Oh, I didn't know that about myself. I'm learning. I'm getting enlightened because I'm in the Word of God. The Word of God is true and righteous. The Word of God warns you, beloved. It warns me. And then when you keep the Word of God, there is a great reward. So since we know these things, saints, and most of us this morning probably know these things, since we know these things, how should they impact us? What should we be doing? Well, number one, you should read it more. You should read it more. You should make it more of a priority. You should make it more of a priority in your life. Read it before we make all kind of other things priorities. You know, read it before you read the morning newspaper. Read it before you get on social media. Read it before you check the traffic and the weather report. Read it. Let that be primary in your life. Make a habit. I mean, I read the Bible a lot. You know, I love reading the Bible. And of course, as a pastor, I preach, teach, you know, two times a week normally. So I'm studying what I'm reading there. But even trying to be even more disciplined, even this year, tracking through the New Testament, it makes me be a little more regimented. Like, okay, I've read the Bible Sunday, but wait a minute, I haven't read in the book of Matthew today. Where am I? I mean, so let me go and read that. You just make it part of your schedules. Okay, I'm going to read. I'm going to make sure I stay on this routine of reading. And again, saints, not just reading just to check it off. So I read today. No, reading. Say, God, you cared enough about me to send me this book. You gave me this book and I'm blessed. I'm here in America where I can read it freely. I got it on my phone. I got it on my iPad. And so it's right here. I can, when I'm in the car, I can listen to it. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to make some changes in my life. And then I want to receive some promises and some encouragement because this is God's word to us. You know, saints, I believe, and maybe this is me thinking this, I think we've become too casual, too laid back with the fact that this is God's word to us. This is God's word to us. This is God's required reading. It's not an optional thing. It's not an optional thing for the follower of Christ. It's not, I can't say, well, I ain't going to read my Bible the next few days. I don't read it. No, it's not an option. This is God's required reading. Again, we don't worship the Word of God, but we worship the God of the Word. And we learn about how to worship and live through His instructional manual, if you will. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. The Bible. So with that being said, we need to make it more of a priority to read it. Also, to read it, I keep saying this, we need to apply it, obey it. Don't just be, as James would say, don't just be a merely a hearer of the Word of God, but be a doer of the Word of God. And then look at this. I talked about promises. Look at these very important questions that are asked of the text. Who can understand his errors? And then, or who can cleanse me from my secret faults? And it's kind of like a inferred who can keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins to not let them have dominion over me? Who can do that? Who can understand his errors? Nobody on their own. Nobody on their own. You and I can only understand our errors through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. See, if we try to discern our own errors, we'll miss it every time. Let me give you a perfect example. A perfect example. Because when I was reading this and studying, I said, Lord, who was a good biblical example of a person who tried to kind of ascertain their own spirituality? Who tried to say, this is where I am with God. And how did they turn out? Here it is. The rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. He said, Master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? That's a good question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, man, you know the commandments. And then he kind of even tried to get a little deeper. Well, what commandment? Then Jesus rolled off some for him, right? Rolled off some commandments for him. And you all remember what the rich young ruler said, who obviously, Deacon Beza, obviously was kind of assessing his own errors through his own lens. And the rich young ruler said, yeah, I keep all those. I keep all those. He was self-deceived. See, if you and I use our own greed, we'll pretty much be just like the rich young ruler. We'll be like, I keep all those. I'm all right. I don't sin like my neighbor over there. I keep all those. But Jesus, of course, looked through all and said, okay, you got a lot of stuff. Go and sell your stuff and give the money to the poor and come back and follow me. And the Bible says he went away sad. His self-analysis was wrong. So anytime, beloved, we try to analyze ourselves, we're going to come up wrong every time. We got to open up the Word of God and say, God, show me in what I'm reading right now. Show me where I need to make some corrections. I think I got all this stuff together, but maybe I don't. Show me, because you are the only one. God is the only one who can help us to understand our errors. He's the only one who can cleanse us from our secret faults. He's the only one that can keep us from presumptuous sins. That's a good thing to serve a God who can keep you and me from presumptuous sins. It's some stuff just tracking with God, just walking with the Lord, just reading the Word of God. It's some stuff that I normally probably would have done. I didn't do because I was right here in the Word of God. Wait a minute, I don't supposed to do that. I don't supposed to be saying that. Because I'm walking with the Lord. He can keep us back from some presumptuous sins. Matter of fact, he's the only one that can do that, saints. He's the only one that can do that. So we got to go with God's required reading. When Ashley and Ariana were younger, especially at Christmas time, you get these little toys and stuff. And I'm not the best handyman. I'm not too good. Years ago, Deacon Lowe, he and I used to live in the same neighborhood. I used to just wear him out. Like, man, can you help me? I fix this and put this together. Jim, he's an engineer. He's good at that stuff. But I used to, when you get a box, and sometimes I'd get home and probably didn't look at it that close and might have been on sale. These words I used to hate to see. Partial assembly required. Now, some of y'all, that's a good thing. Y'all, oh, yeah, I can figure this out. Man, I get that thing out, and maybe that's just a man in me. I'm like, oh, I can figure this out on my own. I'll be trying to figure that stuff out, Sister Ingram. And meanwhile, about 2 hours later, like, man. Then to say something like, read instructions before assembly. And then I finally started reading the instructions, Brother Rodney, and within a few minutes, boom, I get that thing together. I said, man, I wish I would have read the instructions in the first place. Well, beloved, sometimes our lives can be disassembled. Too often we try to put them back together again, our lives back together again, without reading the instructions. So meanwhile, after days and months and sadness, sometimes after years trying to get it back right, we finally said, wait a minute. Let me turn to the instructions. Let me turn to what the Lord said, how to fix this situation, how to fix my life, how to fix this situation. It's God's required reading. God himself, through his word, through his spirit, again, can keep us from presumptuous sins. And I love the latter part of this. He says, God, as I begin to track with you, he said, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. The psalmist said, Lord, as I begin to track with you, as I begin to read your word and allow your spirit to illumine my heart and mind, I begin to see myself as a sinner. So, Lord, forgive me for this sin. He said, then I might say I'm blameless. God is the only one who can claim, cause us to be blameless. Only God can, boom, stamp you and say blameless. And so the psalmist, he gets so excited. He said, then, as I begin to follow, and I love the word of God like gold and more than a honeycomb. And he said, now, I shall be blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let me help you out with that great transgression. Transgression is just another word for sin. We in Christendom, once again, are definitely in humankind, we like to try to classify sin, Sister Kayla, any sin, any transgression is great because it's against a great and a tremendous God. David, he understood that after he had committed adultery, after he had committed murder, David said, God, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. I said, wait a minute, David, you sinned against Bathsheba, you sinned against a husband, you liar, and I'm sure he realized it. But he said, no, first of all, I sinned against you and you alone. So saints, there's no such thing as a little sin. The little sin, quote unquote, is against a big God. But God himself says, the psalmist says, look, I can claim you innocent of great transgression. Whatever that sin might have been. But saints, God's required reading. And then the psalmist ends it this way. He said, by the, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, as you and I spend more time with Jesus, as you and I spend more time in God's word, our hearts, the meditations in our heart, the things that come out of our mouths will be more pleasing to God. They'll be more pleasing to God. You know, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but we're going to, you know, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the word of God endures or lasts forever. God's required reading the Bible. Let me just give you a couple of promises from the word of God and I'm through. You might say, well, I'm afraid. When you are afraid. Well, check this out. If you are afraid, and we all get afraid at one time or another, probably of certain things, go to God's required reading. He says, be not afraid. He says, fear not, for I am with you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, you might begin to feel anxious, getting all stressed out and anxious. And go to God's required reading, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We know this verse. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all human comprehension and understanding, Travis, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when you get anxious, think about what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, my Father takes care of the birds in the heaven. Surely he's going to take care of you. But you got to go to God's required reading to understand that, beloved. You might be feeling tired. You might be feeling really tired right now. Well, go to God's required reading. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You might be feeling condemned. Go to God's required reading. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you got to go to God's required reading. I'm preaching about God's required reading. You might be suffering from low self-esteem right now, low self-esteem. Well, you got to go to God's required reading where he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You sinned lately? Yeah, let me go on. That's not a trick question. Let me go and put yes in there for you. Yeah, you have. Well, if you sinned lately, you need to rush to God's required reading. When he tells them in 1 John 1:9, he said, if you just confess your sins, God is faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But you got to get in the book to know that. Are you getting discouraged? Well, go to God's required reading. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm just preaching the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you're discouraged, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, knowing that your labor, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. Well, you might not be satisfied with your current political leaders. I quoted this last week. Proverbs 21:1. Go to God's required reading. The king's heart, be it the president, be it a mayor, be it a senator, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord turns it wherever he wishes. So you shouldn't be getting stressed out. Well, you might be feeling inadequate. Go to God's required reading. When he tells us, you or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's through Christ. You might be feeling alone. You might be saying, I'm all by myself. I'm feeling alone. I'm all by myself. Well, go to God's required reading. He says it. Jesus said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He said, Jesus sticks closer to us than a brother. I could go on and on and on, but whatever your dilemma, whatever your situation you're dealing with, whatever questions you have that needs to be answered, I'm just saying, as your pastor this morning, I'm just saying, God's required reading. Everything that you need, God has given it to us in the Word of God. He said, I've given to you everything pertaining to life and godliness. So if you just open up this book, God would indeed instruct you in the things of life. And then as you learn, as you grow, you need to ask, Lord, help me to live this out. God's required reading. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. What about you? What about you? We're in the second month of the year. And I know many people well-meaning start at the beginning of the year. Yeah, I'm going to read. I'm going to do better in my reading. I'm going to do better this year. And by now, sometimes people have kind of got off track. But this morning, I just want to encourage you and say, hey, get back on track if you're off track. If you're on track, stay on track. Stay on track. Stay on track. But even with the staying on track, a danger can be, well, I'm reading. Well, that's great. But are you applying? Are you obeying? Are you adhering to what you're reading? The first step is reading. But then are you meditating? Are you obeying? Are you applying what you're reading? I close with this awesome quote that I love by Warren Wiersbe. I quote it every now and then. He says, I like this quote. He says, when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son, he or she is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Let me say that again. When the child of God, that's why they ended on with you to look into the Word of God. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Ephesians 5:1 says we need to be imitating God. And saints, you can't do that without spending time with God in his Word. Father, we do thank you for your reading. We thank you for the Bible.